as the Lord leads us. Amen. And so Colossians chapter 1, verses 12 and 13. And I'll go ahead and read it aloud. You can read along silently, and then we'll see what God has to say. Verse number 12 reads like this. It reads, "Giving thanks unto the Father, which has made us meet to be partakers of the inheritance of the saints in light." Verse 13, "Who has delivered us from the power of darkness and has translated us into the kingdom of his dear Son." That's what we want to deal with right there, just those two verses. And we're still talking about, beloved, this kingdom of light. This Colossians chapter 1, verses 12 and 13. Verses 12 and 13. Let's just start with verse number 12, beloved. We actually began with verse 13, as the Father has translated into the kingdom of his dear Son. And so we learned that word translate actually means now it is a paradigm. It is a paradigm. So it is a changing of position. It is a changing of condition. It actually means a shifting. But it is such that it is a paradigm shift, because in the shifting, it confronts, it challenges, and in the end, there has to be a complete change of the way that I live, the way that I think, the way that I approach life. And so it is a paradigm shift. Somebody say paradigm shift. It's a paradigm shift. And so that's where we began. And then we went back to verse 10 and 11 and kind of worked our way through and talking about it's being strengthened in knowledge and the might and all of those things. And so this week we want to start with verse 12. And in verse 12, he starts this way. He says, "Giving thanks unto the Father, which has made us meet to be partakers of the inheritance of the saints in light." And so this week, beloved, we begin now, having been strengthened, having been empowered with might, we begin now this continue on this trek unto the kingdom of God. And so he says, it begins this way. He says, after having been empowered, he says, "Now giving thanks unto the Father, because the Father has made us meet to be partakers of the inheritance of the saints in light." And so here, beloved, just like with everything else, it is not of our own doing. Mm-hmm. You're not going to get there by any performance. Mm-hmm. There is no physical ability that any of us possess that will allow for us to be meet, to be acceptable, to be worthy of entering into the kingdom of God. It cannot be done. Try as hard as you may, it will not happen. And so he says here in the scripture, he said, this is the way that you get there. He says, first of all, he said, it's the Father that made us meet to be partakers of the inheritance. This word meet means to enable. It means to qualify. Mm-hmm. In Ephesians chapter 1, verse 6, he says it this way. He says, "To the praise of the glory of his grace." That's the word right there, beloved. That's the word right there. That's the word now that we should hold on to every single day, because it is by his grace that we're saved through faith. It's by his grace that we're strengthened, by his grace that we're empowered, by his grace that we don't get what we deserve, but by his grace we get the things we don't deserve. And by his grace we're sustained in this world, by his grace. And so, beloved, it would stand to reason that it is by his grace that we are made now partakers in this kingdom. So he says, it's by his grace wherein he has made us accepted in the beloved. Accepted in the beloved. This word accepted means, it means actually grace. It means now special favor, special honor. And so now he has blessed us and he has deemed us to be highly favored, and having done so by his grace, he has made us accepted in the beloved. When we say in the beloved, what are we talking about? In the beloved, what are we talking about? There you go. Jesus Christ. The word beloved here actually means the son of love. The son of love. And so now, beloved, every single thing that God now has laid up for us is in his son. See, because there was an Adam that came before his son. that Adam failed. And so every Adam that came after him was in the same condition mentally, and was in the same place. They lacked the ability to come up to a higher standard of good. And it was through the actions of the first Adam that all men became sinners and were sentenced to die. But now it is with this second Adam, this last Adam that came forth, now there is life. He has redeemed us from the penalty of sin and death. And so it is through him that he has made us accepted in the beloved. And as we are in the beloved, now remember, now we talked about baptism. What does baptism mean? It means now that as I am baptized in Christ, everything that is his is mine. Everything that is his is mine. As we are led by the Spirit of God, the Bible says that we are the sons. And have sons, now children, have children, heirs, joint heirs with Jesus Christ. And so it is now us being in the Son of Love that gives us now, that makes us now acceptable and allows us to partake in the inheritance of the saints. Okay, what is the inheritance? Partake in the inheritance. This word partake, beloved, means a portion of, a share of, right? A share of. And we talked last week, we talked about, as we were talking with the leaders, we talked about there was a particular scripture in Acts chapter 1, verse 17, where we were talking about the disciples, the apostles, after now Judas now had committed suicide. And the scripture says, okay, Judas had a part of this ministry. He had a part of this ministry. In fact, in verse 17, it says, he was numbered with us. I mean, Judas was included in the number of the apostles. And then it goes on to say, and says, and he had obtained a part of this ministry. Judas was included in the number. He was a part now of these saints, of these apostles, and he had a part. He had a portion of the ministry. And so, beloved, when we talk about the inheritance of God, it is a twofold inheritance. Because now, let's say you inherited $100,000. Okay, with that $100,000, let's knock it up a little bit. I haven't even seen that many zeros. What do we got here? We got 1 million. Is that six zeros? Is that what it looks like? Is that what it looks like, Deacon Taylor? And so now. Have you seen before, beloved, when someone wins millions in the lottery? Mm-hmm. More often than not, within a very short period of time, some of them are broke again. Why? Because now they accepted the inheritance, but they didn't accept any of the responsibility that went along with the inheritance. See, because if you don't know what to do with the inheritance, then you will waste the inheritance. You will blow the inheritance if you don't know what to do with it. And so now he says, now with this Judas, he said, now Judas now was numbered among the apostles. And as he was numbered among the apostles, he received a portion of the ministry. He had a part of the ministry. But now as he received a portion of the ministry, he also received responsibility that went along with that portion. See, beloved, it is more often than not, the people of God, we always want to stick our hands out and we want God's presence. We don't want his presence. We want his presence. Right? But the Bible says that whenever there is something given, there is always a responsibility that goes along with that which is given. Right? And that's why that everything has to begin with humility in the body. Why? Especially humility. Why? Because everything is a part of God's plan. And so if God has chosen to use you, he has given you particular gifts and abilities to be used for the furtherance of the kingdom. It's not about you. Nothing's ever about you. It's all about him. And there's enough blessing to go around. And so when Deacon Brian gets his blessing, we're going to celebrate it because I know mine is coming. Because it's coming back around. It's coming back around to me. All right. But, beloved, he says now that we have been given a portion. And in that portion, there is now an additional responsibility. What is that? To participate. That's it. That's true fellowship. That's true fellowship. True fellowship is a participation in the plan of God. He has given you a portion, And now he expects you to be responsible and accountable for that portion that he has given you of the ministry. That's why he made you acceptable in the beloved. So you are now numbered in the body. Yeah. You have been given a portion of the ministry, and you have some responsibility with that. Amen. And who are you accountable to? Not the pastor. There you go. There you go. There you go. See, you thought you were just going to roll in the kingdom, and everything was going to be all right. No, uh-uh. There's a word. So now watch this. He says now, but now where is the inheritance of the saints? Here we go. He says, it's in the light. It's in the light. Now watch this, beloved. This word light here, it means now moral and spiritual truth. It is those things that are characteristic of the knowledge of God and of spiritual things. It is a knowledge. So he says now, this inheritance is in the light. He said, this inheritance is in a place where you have to now go into this place in order now to receive the inheritance, because it's there. It's in the light, the inheritance is. And in the light, there is a knowledge of God and a knowledge of spiritual things. Now, see, now that would stand to reason, beloved, because what does he say? He said, with the inheritance, I'm going to break you off a portion of it. But now, with that portion now comes some responsibility. There's a function that comes along with that that you need to perform. But if you now are ignorant of spiritual things, and you are ignorant of the knowledge of God, you won't know what to do with this inheritance. You're just going to blow it anyway. So why even give it to you? You with me? Beloved, there are a lot of people in the kingdom of God right now that are setting on their inheritance because they wanted to receive the gifts, but they didn't want to receive the responsibility that comes along with it. Want to be saved, but don't want to receive the responsibility that comes along with being saved. There's responsibility that comes along with your entrance into the kingdom. So he says now, it's in the light. So the scripture says that before we received Christ, where were we? In the darkness. So now he says, if the inheritance is in the light, then in order for me to receive my portion of the inheritance, I've got to cross over. I've got to get out of the darkness into the light. But don't you know God took care of that too? Watch this in the next verse, verse 13. He said, who has delivered you from the power of darkness? He delivered you from the power of darkness. Again, beloved, he ain't asking you to do nothing but trust him. That's all he's ever asked you to do. He said, God knew in order for you to get your inheritance, you've got to be in the light because that's where that is. So he says, I've got to deliver you from the power of darkness. Watch what I didn't say. I didn't say he delivered you from the darkness. He delivered you from the power of darkness. Mm-hmm. All right. What's the difference?
The darkness has really no control.
That's it. The darkness has no control over you. The darkness is a place, but the place now has no control over you. Not if you are a child of the light. So now, he now delivers you from the power of darkness. From the power of darkness. Okay, you'll understand this as we go along. Now watch what this word delivered means. Delivered means to draw to oneself, to rescue, to snatch from, to drag along the ground. And so he says now, whatever this dark place was, it has such a power and an influence over you. With some of us, in order for God to deliver us from the power of the darkness, he had to drag some of us. He had to snatch some of us. He had to pull some of us along. He had to pry some of us away from this power that the darkness had on us. And so now, watch this, beloved. So now, if the light is the knowledge of God and of spiritual things, then what is the darkness? What is darkness? Darkness is exactly the opposite. Watch this word darkness here in the scripture, the word eskodos, it actually means this, beloved. It means a rolling back of the light. It's a rolling back of the light. You remember those blinds when you pull it down and then it would roll up? That's what darkness is. It's a rolling back of the light. So if light is knowledge, darkness is ignorant. If light is spiritual, the darkness is carnal. Right? He said it is a rolling back of the light. Right? And so now in this place of no light, he says now in that place of no light, the darkness had influence over you. Why? Because we are in this world. And there is a ruler of this world, and he's called the Prince of Darkness. And so now, in order now for him to deliver you out of the darkness, he has to take you out of the world. But he's going to leave you in the world, but deliver you from the power of darkness. What does it say? I'm in the world, but now I'm not of the world. Yeah, I'm in the world, and I look like everybody else in the world, but I'm super. See, I'm above all of this. Everything is under my feet because everything is under his foot. So he says he delivers us from the power of darkness. All right? And so now watch this. Let's show you a little bit more. 2 Corinthians chapter 4. 2 Corinthians chapter 4. 2 Corinthians chapter 4, verses 3 through 6. He puts it this way. He says, in 2 Corinthians chapter 4, verses 3 through 6, he says, but if our gospel be hid, it is hid to them that are lost, in whom the God of this world, little g, has blinded the minds of them which believe not. See, here we go again, beloved. Have you noticed that we always get back to the mind? We always get back to the mind. See, that's why, beloved, this is where you fight. Wednesday night Bible study, Sunday morning, Sunday school. This is where you fight. Why? Because the battle is for control of your mind. See, the darkness had influence because in the place of darkness, there's a lack of understanding. There is ignorance. And because of that, the enemy is able to control. So watch what he said. He says now, it is hidden from the lost. And it's hidden from the lost because now he said, the God of this world, little g, has blinded the minds of them which believe not. Okay? So how does the God of this world do that? The God of this world rules this world by ignorance. Not in ignorance, by ignorance. What did Paul say in Romans chapter 10? Paul said, my prayer for the people of God is that you might be saved. He said, because you have a zeal for God, but not according to knowledge. And he says now, being ignorant of the righteousness of God, you've gone about establishing your own righteousness. Huh? And have completely rejected the righteousness of God. Why? Because you were ignorant of it. And so what does he say? He said, you have great zeal, but you have no understanding. And the thing about zeal is I can be so zealous about a thing. I know that I probably need a little more knowledge of it to really be able to possess it and be empowered by it. But now, if I don't have now the energy or the perseverance to go after and do the things that I need to do, what I do is I stop right here and I make up the rest of it with an immolation of what seems to be righteous. Right? I just make it up. So what do I do now? Do just like they did, just like Paul said. Paul said, you got a great zeal and you were doing well. He said, but you stopped right there. And instead of going after the knowledge of God, instead of getting an understanding of the spiritual things, instead of being truly empowered by the word of God, what you did was you settled for looking like it. That's what happened. Right? That's what happened. Right? And you think you're in the kingdom, but you somewhere over here. Why? Because the way to get into the kingdom is the inheritance is in the light. But if you're still in the darkness, you're on the outside looking in. Now watch it. He said he rules by ignorance. And then the next thing, he says he rules by keeping them in the dark regarding spiritual truths.
Yes, sir.
That's the way he's able now to exercise this power and this influence. And the scripture goes on to say, he says, and the reason why he keeps them there is because, he says, lest the light of the glorious gospel of Christ, which is the image of God, should shine unto them. The word lest here means for fear. He says, because the enemy does not want you to get understanding. Because he does not want to lose the power of darkness.
Amen.
That the light of the glorious gospel of Christ should shine unto you. Okay? So now watch this. Here we go. Here's another scripture. And you've probably heard this one before, but we're going to dissect this one. We're going to toss this one out. Matthew chapter 6. Matthew chapter 6. Verse 22 and 23. This is how he's able to exercise power over you in that dark place. Matthew chapter 6, verse 22 and 23. You found it? Okay. It reads like this. It says, the light of the body is the eye. If therefore the eye be single, thy whole body shall be full of light. But if thine eye be evil, thy whole body shall be full of darkness. If therefore the light that is in thee be darkness, how great is your darkness? How great is your darkness? Now watch this, beloved, because he uses now the physical eye to give you an illustration of something spiritual. So he says, the light of the body is the eye. Okay? Here's the body, and here's the eye. The light of the body is the eye. Okay? What does that mean? The light is instruction. If the light means instruction, the light means knowledge. The light means the light provides now a guidance here. What does the scripture say we were talking about this morning? We said that thy word is a lamp unto my feet and a light unto my path. So he says now, the light of the eye, the light of the body is the eye, right? Because now, with the eye, just from a physical standpoint, with the eye, my eye now sees those things that are in my environment. Okay? And as now the eye sees those things that are in my environment, the eye now processes that information. And now that information is given to the body, and the body now responds to that information. So that light now, in this sense, is instruction. The eye sees danger, and the eye says danger, and the body reacts to it. Okay? And so now, the eye now is the light of the body, because the eye now gives now the body now access to his surroundings. So he sees in his surroundings. He's able to process that information, and that information now is used now to influence the body in such a way. So the eye provides the light that leads the body. So now watch this. He says, if the eye be single, then the whole body be full of light. This word single means clear. Means clear. He says, so if your eye is clear, then the whole body be full of light. Why? He said, because, he says, here's the eye here. He says, if the eye is clear, then the light now is free to go into the eye. The whole body be full of light. But if the eye is obstructed for any reason, if you were wearing a patch over this eye, then you can't see anything in your environment in this eye. So if now you have now something wrong with this eye, you can now get lenses now to correct now whatever's wrong so that it can see straight again. Because until you get that corrected vision, your vision is blurred. So the eye is not seeing well. So now the vision is not single. It's distorted. Okay? It's blurred. So now he said, so if the eye be single, the whole body be full of light. Why? Because the eye is single. And as the eye is single, and watch this, the word full of light means well illuminated. It means transparent. It's transparent, which means now that the light can come in unobstructed. You with me? This thing like Proverbs chapter 4, verse 25 through 27 says it this way. It says, let thine eyes look right on, straight. Let thy eyelids look straight before thee. Ponder the path of thy feet, and let all thy ways be established. Turn not to the right hand, nor to the left, but remove your foot from evil. He said, let your eye look straight on. Tunnel vision. Let your eye look straight on, so that you're locked in. And pondering now your movement, pondering the path of your feet, so that all of your ways be established. He said, there has to be a singleness of mind. You with me? So now, as he goes on, he said, now, but here's the opposite of this. He said, if the eye be evil, he said, then now the body be full of darkness. The word evil here stands for whatever is evil in character, evil in base. It says evil in any observable distinction. And watch it. The scripture says now, with this evil, the Bible says in Genesis chapter 8, 21, it says the imagination of man's heart is evil from his youth. Now watch this. So now he says, but the eye that is evil, if the eye be evil, then the whole body be full of darkness. Okay? So now, if light is now the knowledge of God and the things of the Spirit, and light is good, darkness now is the opposite of that. So now, the eye now receives instruction, and if it is single-mindedness and it receives light, then that instruction that the body receives is good instruction. As the body receives good instruction, the body now responds to the instruction and does good. See, so the light is actually, the eye now is serving an important function, because the body now gets instruction, and as the body receives instruction, there is a manifestation of the good. If the eye is evil, it's not good instruction, but it is of the world. It is worldly. And so because it is worldly, now that which is now filling the body is worldly instruction. So now you and I can look at the same thing, but depending upon where we're at spiritually, we're going to see different things. Man. You with me? Exactly. The evil eye. The evil eye is self-serving, but the evil eye is self-serving because of the inability of the one who is evil. Watch this. In this word, in Genesis chapter 8, verse 21, the word evil means an inability to come up to a higher standard of good. That's what that means. And so now, with the good instruction, I can come up to the higher standard of good. Now, how can I do that? Because I'm in Christ. Huh? And because I don't have the mind of God, I can't know the things of God. But I have the mind of Christ because I'm in Christ. Christ is the head of the body. We have the mind of Christ. But outside of the body, I'm living by the world's instruction. And I'm influenced by whatever the prince of this world wants me to think, how he wants me to think, and what he wants me to do. That's why I am under the power of darkness, whether you admit it or not. Whether you accept it or not, the Bible says you are in darkness. Because you're blinded. You don't know what you don't know. So now he says, if it is evil, then the whole body be full of darkness. Now, with the body being full of light, what did that mean? That meant now well illuminated and transparent. Watch what darkness means. Opaque, not transparent. Not allowing light to come through. So now, as now the light shines, the light stops right here because it's not transparent. But here, it is transparent, the light is free to come through. So now, if the eye is single, there's knowledge of God in spiritual things. That light now penetrates the darkness. It comes through. It provides now an instruction And as you follow after that instruction, there is a right manifestation. With the darkness, the light is not able to come through. So if the light is not able to come through, then what am I left with? The darkness that is of this world. So everything that I do and say and shall be influenced by are things that are of this world. And it is the device of the enemy. He has purposely blinded my mind to keep me in a place of ignorance and keep this stronghold over me. Come on. Of light. Now watch this. Because that's where we're going. Now watch this. So in the very next statement he says, so if your, watch what he says here. He says now, where is it at? But if thine eye be evil, thy whole body shall be full of darkness. If therefore the light is in thee, that is in thee, be darkness, how great is that darkness? Okay? Why is that? He says, so if the light is in you, be darkness, how great is your darkness? Why? Because the instruction that I am living by, the rule that I'm living by, the principles that I'm living by are all principles of this world. They're doctrine of this world. It is not a heavenly spiritual wisdom. It is earthly wisdom. And because it is earthly wisdom, I'm in a place of ignorance. I'm ignorant of the wisdom of God. But that's just where the enemy wants me to be. I'm more miserable than anybody else. Why? Because the way that I'm living, I believe to be right. Amen. That's my light. Amen. You with me? That's my light. It says, if your darkness be your light, how great is your darkness? Because I'm living in a place of darkness and I don't know I'm in the wrong place. I don't know what I don't know. Right? So now he says, so now from a spiritual standpoint. Now, months ago when we went over this, in this place right here, there is the mind, there is the body, and there is the soul, and there's the spirit, and right there. Right here in this place of spirit, there is the conscience. In this place of conscience, it is the area, it is the thing that God has given all of us. Because in the conscience is where we determine what is right and what is wrong and what is good and what is bad. But now, when man now was cut off from God, man now is left now to exist in his environment. What instrument, what tool does he have now to now receive instruction from his environment and process it? He doesn't have the Spirit of God anymore. All he has is his eyes. So he sees and he processes. Mm-hmm. Right? And now the conscience man is left to determine what is right and what is wrong, what is good and what is bad. The conscience can get to the place of where that conscience is seared. Mm-hmm. But the conscience is what God has given us all. So now, just as the eyes are the light of the body, the soul now, the inner man, is the light of the spirit man. And how does he receive light? Through knowledge, reasoning. She follows after the spirit, receives the word of God, the reasoning. We have to be strengthen and knowledge. Not only the knowledge of who God is, but the knowledge of his word, the knowledge of spiritual things. That's how we grow. And we strengthen now our inner man so that now our conscience is retrained. So now, where it was first nature for me to do that which was worldly, now when the conscience is retrained, now it is always first nature for me to do that which is heavenly and spiritual. We're in Colossians chapter 1, Sister Felicia. Now, as we go along, now watch this in Proverbs 20 and 27. Watch what it says about the spirit man. Uh-huh. The spirit of man is the candle of the Lord, searching all the inward parts of the belly. The spirit of man, the conscience, it is the inner man. It discerns spiritual realities, distinguishes between right and wrong, and gives light by which we see our way. 1 Corinthians 2 and 11. For what man knoweth the things of a man save the spirit of a man which is in him? Even so, the things of God knoweth no man but the spirit of God. So now, he says, the reason why the enemy is keeping you in this place of blinding the mind is because he fears that you will now get a hold of the light and will no longer be, he will no longer be able to keep you in a place of ignorance. Truth. Truth always sets you free. Right? Because now watch this. He said in verse 6, he said, for God who commanded the light to shine out of the darkness. God commanded the light to shine out of the darkness. He has also shined in our hearts to give the light of the knowledge of the glory of God in the face of Jesus Christ. That's how we were able to escape the darkness. Because God who commanded the light to shine out of the darkness has now shined that light in our hearts, in the place of our understanding. And as he has, he's given us a knowledge now of the glory of God. But how do we receive that knowledge? In the face of Christ Jesus. Why? Because Christ now is the image of God. Yes. He represents God.
Yes. Glory be to God. Thank you.
It says, if you've seen me, you've seen God.
Yes.
We've got to break out of the darkness, beloved. We've got to get away from that place of ignorance. And so now we're going to start here, and I know we're not going to end here. We're going to continue this next week. Because now, here he is. He says he's afraid of you getting hold of this light. This light. Okay, so what's the light? John chapter 1. See? God always takes you back. God always takes you back. And what did he say? The Spirit will always bring things to your remembrance, the things that you've heard of me. He always takes you back. This is where we began. The Bible says we begin at the same place he began. In the beginning was the Word, and the Word was with God. The same was in the beginning with God. All things were made by him, and without him was not anything made that was made. In him was life. Life. What is that word life? You should know this one by heart.
Zoe.
Zoe. It's Zoe life, not Zeo life, not our physical human existence. It is Zoe life. Zoe life is the principle of life in the soul, in the spirit. Right? And so now, just the fact that it is a principle, what does that mean? It's providing instruction. Provides instruction. It lays out a course. It gives you now a manner for which to live your life and a process for how you are to get there. It is in direct contrast with your worldly wisdom. So in order for you to grab hold of it, it's going to require a paradigm shift. Because he says this life, this Zoe life, this principle of life in the soul and the spirit is the light of man. And it lighteth every man that cometh into the world. The light came unto the, and the light shineth in the darkness, and the darkness comprehended it not. The light didn't shine over here in hope that the darkness would be dispelled. The light came into this world of darkness and shined in the darkness. And the word comprehend means to overtake. The darkness could not overtake it. All right, so if the light is in this world, why was I in darkness? Because your mind was blinded. The light didn't come on when you got saved. The light was already on. Your mind was just blinded because you were in a place of ignorance. Because that's how the God liturgy of this world was able now to keep you under the influence and the power of the darkness of this world. But when that darkness was removed, when God now shone his light in you, and that light began to illuminate from the inside out, when you heard the word of truth, it opened your eyes, your spiritual eyes. Remember when man sinned and failed, what happened? Their eyes were open. When their eyes were open, their spiritual eyes closed. In the same way, it says, when now God now shines in our heart. He says now our physical eyes are closed, our spiritual eyes are open up once again.
Yes, Lord. Thank you, Lord.
Hallelujah. So he says, and the light shines in the darkness, the darkness comprehended it not. I'm going to give you a couple more scriptures, and then we're going to stop here, and we're going to continue back with walking in the light next week. John 8 and 12, Jesus says it this way. He says, then spake Jesus again unto them, saying, I am the light of the world. He that follows me shall not walk in darkness, but shall have the light of life. John 12 and 46, I am a light into the world. I am come a light into the world, that whosoever believeth on me should not abide in darkness. And here's the last one, and this is where we'll stop. John 3 and 19, he says, and this is the condemnation. This is the condemnation. Now watch this, because the scripture says, if any man, now therefore, if any man be in Christ, there is now therefore no condemnation. Right? If I'm in Christ, there is no condemnation. That means there's no more judging. Right? There's no more condemnation. And so it doesn't matter what anybody else thinks of me. I'm not being condemned anymore. I'm in Christ. There is now therefore no more judgment. No more condemnation. There's coming a judgment, but for right now, I'm not being judged. I'm covered by the blood of Jesus Christ. But now he says here, he says, but in this is their condemnation. So there's still condemnation. Well, he says, and here's the condemnation, that the light is coming to the world, and men love darkness rather than light because their deeds were evil. The light came into the world, and I was so attached to the darkness, I chose darkness over light. But scripture says, it's the fool that says there is no God. Because he's chosen the darkness over the light. And he says now, for the one who has chosen the darkness, even though the light has come, he says to that person, there is still, there remaineth a condemnation. And the condemnation, now watch this, it is not because he sinned, not because he robbed, not because he stole, not because he cheated, not because he committed adultery, not because of any of those things. If any of us go to hell, it's not going to be because of a sin we committed. It's not. It's going to be because we rejected the light. That's it. Because we rejected the light. And so that's why as the law was fulfilled, there's no more performance. Huh? The only thing that I need to do for salvation is receive the light. Uh-huh. Because if I reject the light, there's a condemnation for the rejection of the light. Not my lifestyle, not the way I'm living. Because if I receive the light now is going to do a work on the inside of me, and it's going to bring about a change in my behavior. And so now, why would anyone reject the light? And here he said, number one, because of their deeds. Because their deeds are evil. They're the doing of worthless deeds. They avoid the light. Why? Because I want to continue to do the deeds. And isn't that what it really boils down to, beloved? I'm still struggling with it. Pray for them. I'm still struggling with it. You're struggling with it because you still want to do it. That's why you're still struggling with it. You're struggling with whether you should continue to do it or not. But you continue to do it because you want to do it. That's the bottom line. But now, so why do I hide from the light? What happened with Adam? When sin entered into the world, what's the first thing that he did? He told God, he said, I heard your voice. I knew you were coming, so I hid myself. I covered myself because I was naked. And God said, who told you were naked? See, when we are still in those old ways, what we want to do is just what Adam did. We want to cover it up and hide it. Why? Because the light exposes it. So I don't want to have anything to do with the light. I'm sitting in the church, but I don't want to have nothing to do with that light. Because the light will expose what I'm doing. Here's the next thing. He said, number two, he said, not pretense and display. See, when I'm pretending, And I don't want any part of the light when I'm pretending. Have you ever been in a service where there was someone who was prophesying, and it made you feel so uncomfortable. It was like, oh, don't come over here, don't come over here, don't come over here. Huh? Oh, okay, all right, nobody's felt that way. No, okay. Don't come over here. Why? Because I know I have a secret. And I know the light will expose my secret. Don't want to have anything to do with the light, because the light will expose my secret. See, that's why whenever there are problems and whenever there are disputes, especially among God's people, how do you deal with those things? By the word of God. Why? Because it brings forth light. Right? So yeah, we've been keeping up all this commotion. But when the light comes in, oh, I see, this didn't have nothing to do with me. This is about you. Because the light will always expose those things that you've been trying to hide. It always does. You ain't got to do anything. All you have to do is watch and listen. Okay? And so now he says now, and the light, he says in Ephesians 5:13, but all things that are exposed are made manifest by the light, for whatever makes manifest is light. And here's the last one, and then this is where we'll pick back up. Now, having been translated into the kingdom, now watch what he says. He says in 1 John 6:7, he says, if we say that we have fellowship with him and walk in darkness, we lie and do not the truth. But if we walk in the light and he is in the light, we have fellowship one with another. And the blood of Jesus Christ, his son, cleanses us from all sin. The last one, Ephesians 5:7-8, be not ye therefore partakers with them, for ye were sometimes darkness, but now are ye light in the Lord. Walk as children of light. That's what we're going to pick up next week. Walk as children of light. Ephesians chapter 5. Okay. What does that walk look like? Okay. Walk as children of light. Well, see, beloved, see, when we come to Bible study and we get instruction and then as we go home ourselves and in our own study time, we meditate on the word of God and the Spirit of the Lord gives revelation. The Bible says none of this is going to do you any good unless you exercise it.
Amen.
As you're exercising, right? And so now we got enough to walk it out now. And so now how do we walk it out? What does that look like? That's where we're going next week. Come on.